Welcome to Sunrise Radio, where we're interviewing a number of inspirational women for our International Women's Day broadcast. Today I'm joined by Fozia Nesim. Welcome to the studio, Fozia.
Hi, thank you, Raj, for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, Fozia, if you'd firstly like to introduce yourself to our viewers and listeners.
I'm Fozia, and I'm a chief of everything, to be honest. I'm jack of all trades, but my current full-time role is as a partnerships manager for Give Bradford. So that role is just to connect and build relationships with community organisations, businesses and stakeholders, and anyone in between that is passionate about making a difference in Bradford, and how I can bring all the sectors, private, public, third, together to make a positive difference in the community. And it's towards our vision of creating a city of opportunity for all. So I get a bit of mixing with those guys and also meeting community organisations and see the amazing work that is being done at grassroots level in the district. So yeah, I'm in a really good role.
Very, very inspirational. Fozia, let's start from the beginning. So tell us a bit about your journey to where you are now.
Wow, how long have you got? No, so my journey, I had a challenging, so in my life, it has been a challenge through childhood and in adulthood. And I've always lived by this prayer by it's Martin Luther King, and it is, I have to read it because I say it in my head, and if I say it out, I can't say it out loud. And it's use me. It's usually use me, God, but I say use me, Allah. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself, because I know what it's like wanting that support from someone. Or a community, and so giving that to others is like giving it to myself. Because of the challenges I've had in my life, I've always wanted to make a positive difference in the lives of others. And I've always worked in organisations where there's a charitable purpose, so I've always had that. And I did originally, from my background's PR and communications, and had some issues with the children, so my daughter got really ill, and I kind of re-looked at my life and what I was doing and wanted to create a balance. So I took a bit of a break from full-time work and just did a lot of temping, navigated the universe to see what is my purpose, and that's when I came to the realization that everything that I'd been through in my life was for a reason, and that reason was to help others that have experiencing that kind of abuse, and I wanted to help because I knew what it felt like. So then I went on a journey of helping myself to overcome that, my barriers, and then get some training in coaching. So I went to do a NLP practitioner's course, which is neuro-linguistics practitioner course, to properly deal with my stuff, because there was still stuff in there to deal with. And doing that just made me a lot stronger. And when I went for that course, I'd told, they always ask what brings you here, because it can be used in a work environment. And when they asked me, and I just said, I wanted to save the world one person at a time. Felt a bit of a numpty doing it because everybody else was on about what goals they wanted to achieve in work, and mine was just a bit like Miss Congeniality type thing. So, and my trainer was quite, she was really humbled by what I'd said and supported me through that journey, which was not easy, but the version of me that came out the other side was truly worth all the pain that I had to go through to deal with my own issues. And then from that, it was, I wanted to help women and girls originally. Then got a job as a cycling, it all just went a bit weird. I got a job as a cycling instructor because I thought, does some people actually pay you to do that? Because, I mean, it was one of the things that I used through my life as a, it was like a meditative thing, and just to escape from everything that was happening. It was my time in the woods and stuff, to clear my head. So I know it had a massive impact on me, and that I've always carried on cycling and stuff for mental health reasons. And then when I found that people paid you to do it for a living, then it was like, I've hit the jackpot. So yeah, I'd started working as a cycling instructor. And then from there, because I'm Asian, and then women would see me working in schools with the kids, they would approach me about doing some cycling training with them. And then slowly, as I was doing that, groups formed. And it was when I was working in Al-Hikmah in Batley with a group of ladies there, is when it all kind of came together, because they were on the bikes. And this is not everyone, just odd few. They're on the bikes, and sometimes you could see that physically they could ride. Everything was there. The balance was there. But for whatever reason, something was stopping them from moving forward. Then I'd ask leading questions using the NLP kind of linguistics about what is going on, what is the voice in your head saying, and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden they'd listen to that internal voice and realize that there was a lot going on. And then I'd take them off the bike, we'd have a chat or just a 10, 15 minutes, or we'd just go for a walk and just deal with what was going on. Then they'd get back on the bike, and then within 10 minutes they'd be riding. And that to me was really empowering and inspiring, to see how the bike was actually a metaphor for them about moving forward. And them overcoming that and getting riding wasn't really about the bike anymore. It was about them, about how they'd overcome a barrier. And then that kind of behavior then mirrored across to the personal life. So they became more empowered in thinking, I can do this, and, you know, I am worth it. And then it just made their lives a lot better, and their family homes became more conscious of what they ate, a health, relationships, massive improvements. And that's where Hop-On's idea was born. So Hop-On was, it still is, an organization that uses the power of sport. And it's a bit like bringing your mind, body and soul together on a bike or in yoga. So we initially started off cycling with women and girls, then it moved on to women and children, then now it's families. So it's just kind of evolved as it's gone along. And the instructors and Hop-On is very well known in the community. And we've had loads of success engaging with them, getting them riding, dealing with stuff with some of the groups, because we do social rides as well. And yeah, so it's just kind of, I did that course and slowly it led to this. And although it was all amazing, within that, being a community organization, I did experience some inequalities. And within a few years, everything went a bit pear-shaped. I mean, Hop-On was really successful, but sometimes I wonder if those successes become a problem for others. And we ended up with some challenging issues. And it was that led me to recognize that in the Bradford district, I knew on grassroots level, there were so many organizations that were doing amazing work, but don't get recognized or are not set up properly. And again, it was my experience that I used to help others. And it was just, I don't know whether there's somebody at play up there, but this vacancy came up, and this vacancy is about helping community organizations, strengthen them, make them resilient, making sure that everything in the background is right. So that when you end up with some challenging situations, that you are resilient enough to kind of come to the other side of that, being successful. And that's what led me here into this role. And I'm pretty sure there's more of a journey, but
we'll save that for another day. So how long have you been in the role, in this current role?
August. Yeah, so I've been, I think, 7 months now, although I feel like I've been a part of it for a long time.
And you mentioned, obviously, in your in the conversation, that where is it? Mental health played a big part. Now, what advice would you give to those? Because mental health, if we look at the broader aspect, anything like that is kind of brushed under the carpet in the Asian community, I would say. So what advice would you give to women, children, and even men, in particular men? The stereotype kind of is a man cannot cry or divulge it kind of his emotion. What advice would you give to people watching and listening right now about combating their mental health?
Is communicate. Have your circle either a circle of friends or groups. One thing I learned was, when you say, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, I'm not worthy, is change that language to something. Always, when you even the internal language when you're using it is keep it open. So when you're not feeling right, you say, what is going on? Why am I feeling like this? Rather than saying, I'm not worth it. This is always happening to me. And, like closed kind of comments or statements is always be open with your language. Because even when you go to a therapist or any kind of coach, all they're doing is giving you the language because you hold the answers in. We all have our own answers. No one else has them. It's our world. We know what we've experienced and we hold all of that. And my biggest learning was, I've got the answers. I just need to ask the right questions. So the way I've ever explained it to someone is the analogy that I give is you've got a little gremlin in your head that's doing this, nattering away. And then you'll say, right, what is going on? Then what it will do is it'll go down into your subconscious because you've asked the question, what is going on with me? And it'll find the answer and then it'll throw it up. And then you've got your answer, and then you need to deal with whatever that is that's come up. But if that's that gremlin sat there and you say, I don't know, it's decided, okay, she doesn't know or he doesn't know. So I'm just going to sit here because I don't need to find anything. So that's how I live my life. I have a relationship with my gremlin.
And moving swiftly on, because we're unfortunately running out of time, just tell us a brief overview about, you mentioned Give Bradford. If anyone wants to get in touch, what do they do? How do they contact them? How do they contact you?
Well, we've got a website, so it's givebradford.org.uk. So all the details are on there, also open grants and everything. But if you want to ever get in touch, just call the number that's on the website and they'll put you through to me. And if it's anything to do with Bradford, I'm available to either people who want to work with us, partner with us, or community organisations that want any support, whatever it will be, whether it's grants or just some advice, just call us. And then if we can't help, we'll find someone that can.
And a final message to the viewers and listeners.
Oh God, that's I
I
didn't even prepare myself
put you on the spot there.
for that. It all starts with you. So love yourself first, and then when you're okay within yourself, everything outside falls into place.
Thank you very much for joining us, Fozia.
All right,
And
thanks, Brian.
hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. See you.